tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
In our first two segments of When Will the Rapture Happen, we offered several proofs that the church will be raptured at the end of the Great Tribulation. Matthew 24:29 specifically states that the rapture will happen immediately after the tribulation of those days, the words of Jesus Christ himself. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 through 6, it states there that people who refuse the mark of the beast, that would not worship the image of the beast, some of them were killed for that. And when they were resurrected, it specifically says there, this is the first resurrection. Obviously, if it's the first resurrection, there was not a resurrection 7 years prior to this. Now, during our first segment, we pointed out that the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 1 through 3, addressed the timing of the second coming of Jesus Christ. He said, I would have you to know, I beseech you by the coming of our Lord and our gathering together unto him. The subject is the gathering of the church unto him. That day shall not come except two things happen. There come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. So what did the Apostle Paul teach? He said the gathering together would not happen until the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. Now, in our second segment, we focused on the simultaneous harvest of the wheat and the tares. Jesus himself described it in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 30. Now, this is the same simultaneous harvest as is also described in Revelation chapter 14. There's two harvests there. And then in Revelation 19, 7 through 21, it all happens almost simultaneously. The rapture of the church takes place, and then shortly thereafter, the battle of Armageddon. Now, in this segment, we will give answers to some of the common objections, because people have a lot of questions. So we're going to answer objections to the post-tribulation rapture teaching. Remember, it's important to emphasize that whether you believe in a pre-trib rapture or a post-trib rapture is not a salvation issue. It's critical that all of us stay ready for eternity at all times, because any of us could be caught out into eternity today. So that's the one thing we definitely want you to remember. Whatever you believe, pre-trib, post-trib, the most important thing is make sure that you stay ready. Now, I've asked my son-in-law, Dave Robbins, to be with us on the program today, because Dave answers a lot of our ministry calls for people who come here. And Dave, wouldn't you say that the most frequently asked question that we have here at End Time is, why do you believe in a post-tribulation rapture?
Absolutely. That's why I was so excited to make this video, because I would say 75 to 80% of the questions I get on the phones are people wanting to know, when will the rapture happen?
You know, I suppose one reason is because the majority probably believes in a pre-trib rapture. Mm-hmm. And when we teach that there's a post-trib rapture, and yet our case is so compelling, mm-hmm. people call in and say, wait a minute, you're playing with my brain here. So I understand totally, because I was taught pre-trib all my life, mm-hmm. and I went through that change myself, was forced to by Scripture. So consequently, I want you to come and pose some of the questions that you deal with on an ongoing basis. Let's get started.
Well, this first one is a very key point. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. And this, as well as other scriptures, state that God has not appointed us unto his wrath. Well, so since this scripture clearly indicates that the church will not experience God's wrath during the tribulation, tell me what you think.
Well, obviously, God's not going to pour out his wrath on his church. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, you don't think God's going to beat his bride just before he marries her. I mean, I've heard it all the time, mm-hmm. as you have. And the answer is, of course he's not. But the critical thing to understand is that the Great Tribulation is not the wrath of God. The Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan. The wrath of God is poured out right at the last of the Great Tribulation and right at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. In Revelation chapter number 12, there's a war in heaven, verse number 7. Satan, knowing he's about out of time, decides to try to overthrow God in the heavenlies one more time. He makes war against the angels of God. The Bible says Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels. Of course, Satan was defeated, and his punishment was that he was banished from any more appearing in the presence of God and confined to the earth. Right now, Satan can appear in the presence of God. He is the accuser of the brethren. But when he's cast down, here's what it actually says in verse 12 of chapter 12 of Revelation. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He understands there's 3.5 years left. Now, the passage goes on to say that Satan will then go persecute the woman Israel. The woman has 12 stars around her head, and the 12 stars symbolize the 12 tribes. So Satan will go, when he's cast down, he launches the Great Tribulation, and the full brunt of it will come against the woman, which is Israel. And the Bible says he will persecute the woman for time, times, and half a time, which is 3.5 years, which is the length of the Great Tribulation. I know some people teach the 7-year tribulation, but that's not one time in the Bible. Every place in the Bible, it states that it will be 3.5 years. Okay, so it's clearly stated here that the Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan. Satan comes down to you having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time, and he launched his persecution against not only Israel, but also the disciples of Jesus Christ for time, times, and half a time. So the Great Tribulation is not the wrath of God. The Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan. Now, the wrath of God is in the book of Revelation. It's in Revelation chapter number 16, under the 7 vials of the wrath of God. And those are the vials of wrath that will be poured out on the invading armies that will be coming down against Israel at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. So here's the thing to remember. The Great Tribulation is Satan making war against the saints, and the Scripture says that to us repeatedly.
Thank you. Okay, so the next one is a very important one that I get all the time. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 through 8, and it states, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." So many people believe that the he which restrains is the church, and that the restraining influence of the church must be removed at the rapture before the Antichrist can come into power.
And as you know, this is held by so many people. The church restrains the Antichrist from being revealed until the church is gone. He cannot be revealed. But is that really what this scripture is saying? Let's go back. In verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul talked adamantly that our gathering together unto him could not happen until the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. Would he then turn around 4 verses later and say, oh, but the Antichrist can't be revealed until the church is gone? He says, verse 1 through 3, that I beseech you by the coming of our Lord and our gathering together unto him, that you understand that day shall not come until there's a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. So the rapture cannot happen, according to Paul in verse 3, until the Antichrist is revealed. He wouldn't turn right around and say, oh, but the Antichrist can't be revealed until the church is gone. It's an exactly contradictory statement. So then the question arises, if it's not the church that restrains, there is something restraining the revelation of the Antichrist. So the question is, what is it? Well, verse 6 tells us what it is. It says, "And now ye know what withholdeth," or what restraineth, "that he," the Antichrist, "might be revealed in his time." It's the time clock of God that restrains. The Antichrist cannot come until it's time for him to come. To better understand this, let's look at Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. It states there, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, Jesus couldn't come until the fullness of time came, until it was time for him to come. God had this all planned out. So even as the coming of Christ had to wait until the fullness of time came, likewise, the Antichrist cannot come until the fullness of time comes. So it's the time clock of God. Back to verse 6. Now you know what withholdeth, that the Antichrist might be revealed in his time. One more thing. It states there that he that now restraineth will restrain. But you know, it can't be the church, because the church is never referred to as a he. The church is referred to as the bride. A bride is not a he. The church is referred to as the bride, and therefore, this cannot be referring to the church as we have already demonstrated.
Sure. Okay, here's a big one that I always get. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 says, a voice called for the apostle John to come up hither, and immediately he was in heaven. Well, this is the, a lot of people think, well, this is a symbolic representation of the rapture of the church. And the church, of course, a lot of people say, well, the church is not mentioned again after Revelation 4, verse 1. So, since the church is not mentioned after Revelation 4, verse 1, according to a lot of people, does that mean that the church will be then be raptured out of here before the seals, trumpets, and vials occur?
If people have studied this issue and read the commentaries, they've read what you said. Most of the commentaries say that the rapture happens in chapter 4 and verse number 1. But is that true? Well, we need to understand how the book of Revelation is laid out. The book of Revelation has three categories. Revelation 1:19 describes them. It says there, John was told, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So, three categories. Things thou hast seen, things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The things thou hast seen, and the things which are outlined in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Most of chapter 2 and 3 is devoted to seven churches that existed in Asia Minor at the time the book of Revelation was written. Most people believe that John, after he got out of exile, returned to Turkey, and there was over those seven churches. So these were seven messages written to seven literal churches. Then in chapter number 4, we go into the things which shall be hereafter. Let's read it. Revelation 4:1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, the sound of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So now we move into the prophetic part of the book of Revelation. Does not mean the rapture happened there. It just means we start considering the things which shall in fact be hereafter. Now, furthermore, we can prove that the first four seals of Revelation 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, we can prove they've already been unleashed. So, consequently, we're already past chapter 4 right now, and the rapture hasn't happened yet. Now, furthermore, the teaching that the church is not seen after Revelation chapter number 4 is simply not true. We see the church in chapter 19, and the marriage hasn't even happened in chapter 19. Listen to verse 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Hasn't even happened. And we're clear almost to the end of the book of Revelation. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. So here we have the church is not just mentioned after chapter 4. It's mentioned here in chapter number 19. So it's very important for us to understand that the church is definitely mentioned in Revelation after chapter number 4.
Absolutely. Of course, you and I understand the 70 weeks. prophecy in Daniel 9. But let's look at it real close. Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring into everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So here's the question. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Well, what people? What was the Lord? Who was the Lord addressing? He was, of course, addressing Daniel, who was a Jew. So 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the Jewish people. So some say, well, this has nothing to do with the Gentile church or the bride of Christ. So let me ask you this question as a result. Doesn't this mean that the Gentiles will not be able to be saved during the time of Daniel's 70th week?
Well, and what the people asking this question contend is, if the 70 weeks pertains to God's deal with the Jews, and if the final 7 years, which contains the 3.5-year Great Tribulation, mm-hmm. if that's to do with the Jews, then there won't be any salvation of Gentiles during this 70th week, mm-hmm. this 7-year period. And that's the thrust of this question. But to say that only Jews can be saved during the 70 weeks prophecy and that only Gentiles could be saved in the gap between the 69th and the 70th week is obviously not true. Now, let's make sure we understand, because not everybody out here understands the 70 weeks prophecy. Right. The prophecy basically says in Daniel 9, verse 24 through 26, that after 7 weeks of years and 62 weeks of years, the Messiah will be cut off. Now, 7 weeks of years, 62 weeks of years, totals 483 years from the beginning of this prophecy until Messiah is cut off, which means the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. So we know that the first 69 weeks of years of this prophecy stops at the crucifixion. Yet, a great Jewish revival took place between the 69th week of years and the 70th week. Mm-hmm. So during this gap, the Jews are having great revival. If we're going to say the salvation for the Jews is only confined to Daniel's 70 weeks, I mean, there were several years in the New Testament church that the church was totally Jewish before mm-hmm. God allowed the Gentiles to come in and be partakers. So here's the critical thing that we want to make sure. If the Gentiles are prohibited from being saved during the 70th week, which is what this question is implying, mm-hmm. then does that mean that the Jews cannot be saved during the gap period? Obviously, it's not true. So what is the truth? There were Jews and Gentiles in the early church together. It's obvious from the New Testament. There will be Jews and Gentiles in the last day church together. One more thing to consider. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 14, John saw a great multitude out of every kindred, tongue, peoples, and nations. And the Bible says they came out of great tribulation and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. That means they're going to be getting saved. They're washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb during the final 7 years, during the great tribulation. But it doesn't say they're Jews. It says they're out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. So obviously, there's something faulty about this particular thinking.
Sure. Well, I'm absolutely thankful for that, actually.
Okay.
But, okay, so the alive and remaining. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 states that at the rapture, the dead in Christ will rise from the dead first. Then we which are alive and remain on the earth will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So here's the question. Since everyone that receives the mark of the beast during the tribulation will be lost, and everyone who refuses it will be killed, there can be no one at the end of the tribulation that can be alive and remaining. So, therefore, the rapture happening at the end of the tribulation is not possible, right?
Well, that's the question that's mm-hmm. been presented to us. But there's a lot of big problems with that question, because we know that there's going to be millions that go on into the millennium under the rulership of Jesus Christ and his church. Under this question, there won't even be anybody to populate the mm-hmm. earth during the millennium. So we see it's a really faulty question. Mm-hmm. But first of all, the idea that the Antichrist will be in absolute control of the earth and that every person will either worship him and take the mark or else they will be killed, that is faulty. That's simply not according to the scripture. For example, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 41, it states that the country of Jordan will never be under the power of the Antichrist. It says the children of Edom, Moab, and Ammon shall escape out of his hand. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all in the country of Jordan. So the Antichrist is never going to occupy Jordan. That's Daniel 11:41. And then in Revelation 12, verse number 14, it says, when the dragon persecutes the woman Israel, the woman with the 12 stars, it states there that there will be given to the woman two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into her place where she's nourished for time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Her place is Israel. The nation of Israel will never be occupied by the Antichrist. That's the reason he tries to invade Israel at Armageddon. You don't invade a place if you are to control it. So consequently, Israel's not going to be under the power of the Antichrist. Then we have evidence that other places will not be under the power of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will dominate the world. Mm-hmm. He will be ruling the one world government. But there will be many places that will not be totally submissive to this one world government. For example, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 44, it says there that during the Great Tribulation, tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble the Antichrist. So he'll go forth to make war against his opposers. And he will still be fighting enemies during the final 3.5 years. Now, I'm really hoping the United States of America is one of those nations that's going to be opposing him during this final 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. But it's important that we really realize that. So Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 through 35 describes the way things will really be during this time of the Great Tribulation. Listen to it. It says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he, the Antichrist, corrupt by flatteries. But at this very same time, during the Great Tribulation, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Verse 33, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. We're going to be teaching people. Mm-hmm. We're going to be explaining prophecy. We're going to be putting out lessons like this one today. And yet they will fall by the sword, by flame, by captivity, by spoil many days. There will be people that will be killed by the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, to purge them, to make them white. Even people who understand the prophecies will yield to the pressure of the time, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed.
So who will populate the earth into the millennium?
You know, in Daniel chapter 7, we have a prophecy of modern nations, Great Britain, the United States, Russia, Germany, and the countries of the European Union. Mm-hmm. And it states there in verse number 11 that when Jesus comes to take over the earth, that he will put the Antichrist in the lake of fire. And verse 12 says, but as concerning the rest of the nations, it says the rest of the beast, and it says in the chapter, the beast are nations. As concerning the rest of the nations, they have their dominion taken away, but their lives are prolonged for a season and a time. Those nations will be allowed to live into the millennium under the rulership of Jesus Christ and his church. I can't tell you for sure exactly the criteria that God will use. We know that when the children of Israel refused to go into the promised land, that the Lord didn't require that decision of all that were below 20. Well, there's 2 billion people on earth today below 20. Mm-hmm. So it could be them. I can't tell you that for sure. Nevertheless, those will be the people that will populate the earth during the millennial reign
period. Sure. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for this segment, so if you'd be so kind, please just give us a summary of what we learned today.
Well, I think the thing we need to do, Dave, is to talk to everyone about, is this issue important? Well, of course it's important. It's in God's Word. However, I would remind you, this is not a salvation issue. This is not something that Christians need to be divided over, that church just need to be filled with contention about. That's not what this is all about. However, if we are going to be here throughout the Great Tribulation period, our attitude toward this and believing what the Bible says about it will affect our attitude towards the end time. In other words, should we be thinking that one day we'll be walking along the street and all of a sudden we'll just disappear and that's it? Or should we realize that all these prophecies are converging right now and that we should be gearing up our personal lives and the church for the greatest revival thrust the world has ever known. We're going to be watching these prophecies be fulfilled. We're going to be able to use them as evangelism material. It's going to be a great opportunity for evangelism. Now, we shouldn't be thinking about, well, what's going to happen to me? Because, you know, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. We're here for him. There's one other thing that I think is really important, and that is, if we are so sold out to a pre-tribulation rapture belief, and then it doesn't happen, how could that affect us? Let's say the mark of the beast comes along, and you say, well, I'm not going to be here when the real mark of the beast happens, so I can do this. Now, this is the big danger, because just leave a little room in case the post-trib rapture is right, that if this comes along, you would not take it. That's the biggest thing I see in all this, and that we should believe things correctly. So, in conclusion today, my final word to you is one thing. Whatever you do, be ready. Our 14 lessons now include the United States discovered in the Bible, New World Order is world government, Islam in Bible prophecy, World War III, Israel's God-given destiny, Israel, God's prophetic time clock, Holy Roman Empire reborn, Antichrist and the false prophet, 666 Mark of the Beast, the secret pact between Gorbachev and the Vatican, when all religions become one, the seven trumpets, the second coming, and the kingdom of God established on earth. You will want to have all 14 of these marvelous prophecy lessons. If you go through these 14 DVDs, each of them 1 hour, you are going to know more about Bible prophecy than the average student graduating from theological seminary. We need to know where we are right now. Jesus Christ said, I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe. So the number to call is, one more time, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com. Consider